permission should you decide to accept it is to listen to this OCDQ podcast, which by now you probably know has something to do with the theme of Mission Impossible. Hello, this is Jim Harris, the blogger-in-chief at Obsessive Compulsive Data Quality. In this podcast, I want to talk about data governance, which, like so many of our industry disciplines, I think causes confusion by the very fact that it starts with the word data, which makes people assume that data governance must be all about governing data and has no other applicability. So let's first talk about data and one of the concepts of data governance, and that it needs to be treated as a corporate asset. I think that data is often viewed as a byproduct of the act of doing business, or as some byproduct of either technical processes or business processes, and doesn't have any direct correlation to the important work that the organization is doing on a daily basis. But the fact of the matter is that data is a strategic corporate asset because high-quality data serves as a solid foundation for an organization's success, empowering people, enabled by technology, to make better business decisions and optimize business performance. I think the dirtiest word associated with data is oddly not quality, but a word that a lot of people struggle with the definition of, and that is ownership. So when people start to view data as either an important asset to the organization or at least an important asset to what they do as part of their job within the organization, they often have a tendency to want to frame ownership in terms of what they personally own or what their business unit owns. Or in some cases at the opposite end of the spectrum, don't want to take any ownership of the data, again, going back to viewing it as a byproduct of a process or of the act of doing business. Now, data is an asset, and it is owned. However, it is not owned by any individual business unit or any individual people within the organization. Data is an asset that is owned by the entire enterprise. Therefore, I think a key concept relating to data is data stewardship, which is another term that has a lot of different definitions out there. I'm particularly fond of the definitions that Jill Deshaies of Baseline Consulting has helped to define. In general terms, stewardship is the practice of managing or looking after the well-being of something. So going back again to the definition that data is an asset that is owned by the entire enterprise, Jill Deshaies likes to point out that data stewards should not necessarily own the data that is assigned to them, but instead they look after or they care for the data asset on behalf of the entire enterprise. So again, data is owned by the entire enterprise, but we do have individuals who take responsibility for the stewardship of the data, but they're taking that responsibility on behalf of the entire enterprise. Data governance provides a framework for data stewardship, data quality, and effective data usage. And I want to dwell on effective data usage for just a moment. How data is being used is more important than the business processes that create it and the technical processes that manage it. Thomas Redman once wrote that it is a waste of effort to improve the quality of data no one ever uses. It's also a waste of effort to govern or manage or do anything to data that no one ever uses, especially nowadays when we have so much data and so much of it is continuing to be created on a daily basis. It's important for all data initiatives to focus on data that is currently being used and is most useful and most critical to the business. But up to this point, I haven't actually defined what data governance is, other than earlier in the podcast saying that there are a lot of different definitions out there. Well, here's mine. I define data governance as the strategic alignment of people throughout the organization through the definition and enforcement of the declared policies that govern the complex ways in which people, business processes, data, and technology interact. The word that I was trying to emphasize there is policies, because I think that is the key concept that is differentiating data governance. Data governance involves policies, people, business processes, data, and technology. However, people, business process, data, and technology are critical to every initiative. So that's why I focus on the first concept, policy, as a differentiating aspect of data governance, because it is the definition and enforcement of those policies that really dictate what data governance actually governs. And that's the complex ways that those other four concepts interact with each other. And again, those four concepts are people, business processes, data, and technology. So the definition and enforcement of these policies is the core concept of data governance. So I want to talk a little bit about how those policies are actually enforced. I recommend five steps for enforcing data governance policies: documentation, communication, metrics, remediation, and refinement. Documentation is the first step, where you need to use straightforward, natural language to document your policies in a way that everyone can understand. So I'm not just talking about avoiding the use of techno mumbo jumbo, because even business speak can sound more like business babbling and not just to the technical folks. So most important of all, try to avoid any acronyms or other lexicons of terminology unless you can unambiguously define them. So make sure that your policies are well documented in a language that everyone can understand. The second step in enforcing data governance policies is communication. You need to find a way to facilitate easy distribution, promote open discussion, and encourage feedback. I always emphasize the importance of communication since it's a crucial component in the collaboration that data governance requires to truly be successful. I'll talk a little bit more about collaboration later. It's important to note that data governance policies are meant to reflect a shared business understanding, and the enforcement of these policies has much to do with the enterprise-wide communication as it does with supporting critical business decisions and enabling optimal business performance. So make sure that you communicate well the defined and documented policies so people can have a good understanding of what the data governance program is actually trying to accomplish. The third step to enforcing data governance policies is the creation of metrics. And the important thing here is that they have to have tangible business relevance. So you have to have metrics that are capable of being effectively measured and also will meaningfully represent the business impact of data governance. The common challenge is that the easiest metrics to create and monitor are low-level technical metrics, such as the ones that data quality tools or data profiling tools would provide. However, elevating those metrics up to a level that represents business relevance can far too easily merely establish their correlation with business performance. It doesn't mean that creating metrics that track compliance with your data governance policies is impossible. It simply means that you have to be as careful with the definition of the metrics as you were with the definitions of the policies themselves. Again, if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. So make sure that you create effective metrics for managing a data governance program, but more importantly than anything else, metrics that truly represent the business impact of data governance to your organization. Effective data governance metrics will let you know when something has gone wrong. And when Francis Bacon taught us knowledge is power, but Jackson Beck also taught us that knowing is only half the battle. Therefore, the fourth step in enforcing data governance policies is taking the necessary corrective action when non-compliance or other problems will inevitably arise. Remediation can involve any of the four concepts that I talked about before that data governance is helping to interact, and those are business processes, technology, data, and people. And in some cases, remediation can actually affect all four of those. Most people talk about the most common kind of remediation, which is data remediation, which is where data quality comes into play. This includes both reactive and proactive approaches to data quality. Proactive approaches would be implementing defect prevention controls, where although it's impossible to prevent every problem before it happens, the more control that you can enforce where data originates, the better the overall quality will be for enterprise information. How often, and most often driven by a business triage for critical problems, you'll also occasionally have to rely on reactive data cleansing and a complete hybrid discipline combining reactive and proactive approaches to data quality will be necessary in order to truly remediate your data issues. Again, data remediation is only one aspect of the remediation you may need to do with data governance. You could also be looking at repairing broken business processes, replacing technology, or dealing with some people issues as well. But it's important to know that you're not just measuring data governance for the sake of figuring out what's going on in the organization, but the governance aspect also has to take into account actually taking corrective action when it is necessary. The fifth and final of my recommended steps is the ongoing refinement of your data governance policies, which, as I talked about before, you're enforcing for the purposes of supporting critical business decisions and enabling optimal business performance. As such, your data governance policies, as well as their associated metrics, can never remain static, but instead, they must dynamically evolve and adapt, all in order to protect and serve the enterprise's continuing mission to survive and thrive in today's highly competitive and rapidly changing marketplace. Since I just gave you my five recommended steps for enforcing data governance policies, I want to talk a little bit about data governance frameworks. The most important thing I can say is, if you're looking to follow a step-by-step, paint-by-numbers, only color inside the lines, guaranteed foolproof plan, then you're going to fail before you even begin, because there are simply no universal frameworks for data governance. Your particular circumstances, and especially the unique corporate culture of your organization, are going to determine what works for you. And another important consideration is that you need to be brutally honest about where your organization currently is in terms of its data governance maturity, as this, perhaps more than anything else, dictates what your realistic capabilities are during every phase of your data governance program. And you will go through multiple phases in an evolutionary approach to data governance. But again, you do need to accept that there are no universal frameworks that you can just follow step by step. These are just some recommended guidelines that I'm talking about. Data governance is impossible without enterprise-wide collaboration. And I'm not just talking about business IT collaboration. Successful organizations view collaboration not only as a guiding principle, but more importantly, as a call to action in their daily practices. Successful organizations have this united and shared purpose, which is built upon open communication and enterprise-wide collaboration. True collaboration is about the organization's collective ownership of its problems and the organization's shared responsibility for the solutions to those problems. Many people respond to problems by wasting precious time and resources on blame-storming sessions, which neither help the organization move forward nor make the necessary adjustments to minimize the likelihood of problems recurring. Enterprise programs like data governance require everyone within the organization to accept a shared responsibility for failure as well as a shared responsibility for success. So collaboration is about accountability, which means that everyone, regardless of their primary role or job function, accepts their personal responsibility in helping the organization be successful and accepts their personal responsibility in helping the organization recover from its occasional failures. A common criticism when people hear about data governance is that it sounds like an idyllic vision that is impossible for the organization or any of its people to actually live up to. So I want to talk about that for just a moment. I believe that the primary reason that data governance looks like such an idyllic framework and the reason that the change management effort that's a part of data governance is resisted is because of an almost exclusive focus on what the organization is currently doing wrong. In other words, the emphasis that most people hear when we talk about data governance is that the emphasis is on broken business and technical processes, as well as bad data-related employee behaviors. It sounds like the rallying cry of data governance is that bad people and bad processes are doing bad things, which are resulting in bad data, bad decisions, and bad business, and therefore the organization has to do less bad. Although these problems are the root cause of some of the organization's failure, an emphasis on doing less bad makes it sound like your organization is not currently doing any good. However, unheralded processes and employees are preventing other problems from happening, and these unsung heroes are the root cause for some of the organization's success. So you need to dedicate some time to analyzing the good that your organization is already doing, which will allow you to learn how you can do even better. Additionally, by celebrating your unsung heroes, you will also be highlighting the grassroots advocates and peer-level influencers who are leading by example. It's important to demonstrate that some of the data governance policies and procedures and best practices that you're trying to instantiate already currently exist within the organization. So you're building upon your existing best practices, you're building upon what your organization is already doing well, and you're acknowledging the people and the processes that are contributing to your organization's success. And by doing so, you can help reduce some of that resistance to change. No matter how bad things may seem, your organization is definitely doing some good, and your organization definitely has the capability and maturity to do better. So don't focus on doing less bad, focus on doing better good. So the bottom line is, data governance is mission critical. It is essential to the success of your organization. It is a daunting challenge, it can be difficult at times, but without question, data governance is mission possible. This podcast will self-destruct in 10 seconds. Just kidding, I didn't have the budget for those kind of special effects. This is Jim Harris, the blogger-in-chief at Obsessive Compulsive Data Quality. I hope that you found the resources in this podcast helpful. You can find a lot more information online at www.ocdqblog.com. The blog post for this podcast has links to a lot of blog posts and other resources for the material that was mentioned in this podcast. You can also find me online on Twitter at OCDQBlog. Once again, I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. This is Jim Harris from Obsessive Compulsive Data Quality. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.